Hello and welcome to Bad Pitches, the game show devoted to the absolute worst in television. I'm your host, Ned Erbar, and if we got a show for you, four formidable comic minds will compete to see who can come up with the worst TV show idea imaginable. And for this episode, it's all about that profession your mom wished you'd picked, doctors. The pitchers will offer up their absolute worst doctor-themed TV show ideas, and then our network executive judges will pepper them with questions before surgically removing one pitcher from the competition. But they're not out of the game completely. Instead, they become a judge for the rest of the episode. After another round of pitches and an elimination slash promotion, our two remaining pitchers will face off for the title in our lightning round. The winner of this episode of Bad Pitches goes home with a first aid kit, because this is America, and you have to earn the right to proper medical care. Pitching this episode are Sopan Deb, Paul McCallion, Matt Nadastep, and Selena Kopic. Our network executive judges are Katla McGlynn and Pega Yazd. This episode of Bad Pitches was taped in front of a live audience at Crystal Lake, Brooklyn.
Katla, what are you looking for tonight from your pitchers?
You know, I think the key with any show in this genre is that the doctor needs to have a gimmick. You've got your hot doctor, you've got, you know, your grumpy doctor, you've got your child prodigy doctor.
Your hot, grumpy child prodigy
doctor. Exactly. And so basically, the less it has to do with the medical profession, the better, frankly.
That works for me. Ladies and gentlemen, Sopan Deb.
Thank you so much for having me at this pitch meeting. I'm a big believer in diversity, both on screen and off screen. And South Asians have been traditionally very underrepresented. So I believe in a show called Dr. Patel. Dr. Patel, he performs life-saving surgeries. And at the same time, he's offering to arrange his patients to get married. All the characters will be played by Scarlett Johansson. And Armie Hammer's son. That's the pitch.
Okay, so just a couple of questions. Armie Hammer's son, are these going to be like arranged marriages, like childhood?
Yes.
How old is Armie Hammer's son?
I will ask him and then get back to you. But I believe about 13.
Okay, is that like the age that all of our patients slash newlyweds will be?
Yes. Scarlett Johansson, Dr. Johansson will be a pediatrician. That's correct, yes.
Dr. Patel.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Patel, yes, yeah. Right. Thank you.
Patel,
yeah.
Acting.
Yeah, that's right. Correct, yes.
Nay Johansson,
right.
Perhaps.
Correct.
So is ScarJo going to be in brownface for this?
Excuse me?
Is she playing an Indian?
No. The show will pay for tanning booths for her.
Okay. That's kind of the same thing, but
right.
Okay. Right. And my other question was... Now, we all know when you get married, there's all these complications with health insurance and who's on whose and who gets what. So how is that dealt with on the show in terms of the life-saving surgeries and the marriages?
But are you asking me how health insurance is dealt with on the show? You're
asking me how health insurance works in general, I think.
Yeah. That's for episode 4. I'm just here for a pilot situation here.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't get dealt with in episode 1.
You know, you really need big vision in this industry,
right.
And if you can't think beyond the pilot...
I don't know, Scarlett Johansson playing an Indian doctor is pretty big vision, if you ask me.
And just, what are you thinking for this? What's the format? Is it, like, you know, mockumentary? Is it I know it's reality, but, like, what does it look like? How is it shot? What does it feel like?
I mean, I don't know, I'm not the cinematographer here, but I would say handheld cameras with quick cuts every second, as if it's Cloverfield.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just want to clarify. Cloverfield the sequel. Cloverfield 2, not Cloverfield 1.
Oh, well, that changes everything.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up, please welcome to stage Paul McCallion.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. When it comes to these kind of medical dramas, these shows about doctors, we've kind of seen it all, right? They're fast-paced. They're engaging. They're about these sort of frantic relationships that are forged in the crucible fires of hospitals, and it's a little boring. I'm bored of it. But that is until you see The Administrator. In this Grey's Anatomy spinoff, rights pending, Kim O'Doyle is a no-nonsense junior human resources manager at Seattle Grace Hospital. She's navigating the chills and thrills of her 8-to-4 workday, far away from all the medical action. What's that? McDreamy is performing brain surgery on a patient with split personalities, one an FBI agent and the other an international art thief? Well, you won't even care when we don't see any of that down the hall. While Kim O'Doyle is trying to figure out who heated up the fish in the office microwave. A tale of I-9s, W-4s, and misplaced pens. The administrator is a fresh show that the entire family will tolerate. Thank you.
Wow. First of all, I think office administration professionals are far overlooked in this society, and I think that's a great, great thing to highlight. Who do you see in the role of Kim O'Doyle?
We have an offer out to my Aunt Gail.
Okay.
My only concern is, does Aunt Gail have personal experience with, like, finding out who put fish in the microwave?
She was never able to figure it out, unfortunately.
Okay, I'm really invested in that.
I love a cold case.
Yeah.
Or in this case, a hot case.
We just both got raises, okay? Great, yeah. I mean, any questions, Pega?
Are you envisioning this as, like, 15-minute web series, a cool, like, two-hour drama, or, like, literally nothing in between? Which one of those two?
I think it's anywhere between 90 and 2 hours. I mean, I don't see a problem filling the time. Think of how long an 8-to-4 workday is. You're almost choking on the monotony.
Now, McDreamy, I heard, was mentioned.
Yes.
His people are pretty difficult in getting him to do any other show.
Oh, when I sort of mentioned him, I sort of think, like, I kind of want to pay for use of his name, but I don't think we need to use him. You know, maybe some of the other office administrators are gossips. They're like, oh, did you hear about Meredith Grey? And she's like, well, that seems like her business.
Right.
I'm blown away.
Very interesting. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're going to keep things going, Ray. This next pitcher is notable because it is his birthday. However, we're not going to give him an unfair advantage. Matt Nettostop.
Thank you very much. Thank you for this exciting opportunity.
You're welcome.
Yesterday is my birthday, and I always vowed that if I didn't sell a show by the time I was 34, I would kill myself. Anyway, imagine. Viewers are tired of medical shows where a bunch of implausibly hot doctors use a fast-paced emergency room as the backdrop for their sexual intrigues. What happens when the doctors are unattractive, but the drama is red hot? That's when you get 2020's hottest new show, Fugly Hospital. For years, the homely but competent staff of St. Olga's Hospital for the Severely Burned have toiled away happily, untroubled by any distracting physical urges for their colleagues. But all that changes one day when they welcome a new fertility specialist, the vivacious young Dr. Lexi Sintella. Will she shake up St. Olga's with her feisty sexual energy? No, she's the ugliest one yet. What follows is a subdued, painstakingly accurate look into a working burn ward. The main cast includes Paul Giamatti, Clint Howard, and Rainn Wilson. I now invite your questions.
Wow.
That sounds really great. Paul Giamatti, who, and Rainn Wilson?
Clint Howard. He's Ron Howard's much uglier brother. If you've ever watched a Ron Howard movie and thought, why did they let this guy on the screen?
Right. Is there any room in this cast for, like, a lesser Baldwin?
Listen, we'll take all the Baldwins that we can get. Even Alec is his best days are behind
him. Who are you thinking for Dr. Lexi? What was her last name?
Lexi Sintella.
Sintella.
I feel very strongly that she should be played by a newcomer who will be a very sexy young actress who gets the Charlize Theron monster treatment.
All right. I heard ScarJo is available, actually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. She would be thrilled.
Now, Fugly Hospital. Yes. Where is this based?
It's got to be Canada.
I was going to say, most of these fictional hot hospitals, if you will, hospitals, have sets that are clearly L.A. So where is this Fugly Hospital?
I imagine it will shoot in Edmonton, Alberta, but it'll take place in Winnipeg.
That's a really big stretch for the audience, though. So,
oh, yeah, a lot of CGI.
And you said that these doctors are competent. Does that mean that they, like, went to top med schools, or did they just, like, go to school in the Caribbean?
They're very good doctors. They're just unpleasant to look at.
Right. And who do you see playing some of the burn victims?
Oh. See, for those, you could get really hot, famous actors who want to stretch out by having a role where they're totally covered in nasty burn.
And lastly, for me, I think the main thing I'm thinking with a show like this, it just screams sponsorship opportunity.
Yes.
So what kind of perhaps burn-related or ugly person-related brands do you think might want to be integrated into this project?
Yeah. Maybe like Glad trash bags for your head. What are ugly people like?
Perhaps like a strong epoxy that molds to the face.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Masks, just like straight up masks.
Yes.
Yeah, just like masks. Yes. Yeah, we could definitely make a deal with straight up masks.
Mm-hmm. Right, love it. Thank you.
All right. Our last pitcher, ladies and gentlemen, Selena Kopic.
Okay, here's my pitch. So you think you can dance? Meets WebMD. Meets the 60s game show To Tell the Truth. In a show that America will love called But Are You Really Sick? Three female contestants share their symptoms, ailments, and medical issues in front of an all-straight male panel of doctors. But are they really sick? Or are they paid improvisers who are pretending to be sick? Or women who are hysterical? We don't know. You know, I mean, truly, the doctors don't know if it's just a paid person who's, like, riffing on symptoms they read about on WebMD or someone who is truly going through a nightmare scenario. But does it matter if they're really sick or not? No, it doesn't. Because overall, doctors don't believe, listen to, or take seriously the medical issues of women that we experience and describe. During the show, the women will pitch to, you know, will talk to the doctors, and the doctors will ask expert questions, such as, are you really sick? Are you just not in the mood to clean, Karen? Does it hurt? Or are you just hysterical, Janet? And finally, I just met you, but I think that I know your body better than you do, and I think you're being overdramatic, Jessica. After a few rounds of questions and a physical challenge, the verdict will be rendered. Are you really sick? Almost every week, the doctors will say that the women are bluffing, and no, they are not really sick. And almost every single week, it is revealed that these three women are, in fact, extremely ill and in desperate need of medical attention, and none of them can afford insurance. Topical! Okay? Topical. To close the show, each participant gets a $100 gift card to Panera Bread. Thank you.
First of all, I love the product tie-in with Panera Bread.
That's, I mean, instant sponsor.
Great.
Everyone loves Panera.
So are you envisioning the, who's your target audience? Is this women who have experienced this firsthand, or is it men who get off on, you know, watching women suffer?
I would say smug doctors.
And you also said that almost every week all of the women are really sick. What about when they're not? Are they paid actors? What's going on there?
Once in a blue moon, just to keep it fresh and spicy, we will have like a Joe Millionaire scenario where someone will be bluffing, and they are actually not sick, just to keep everyone on their toes, you know?
Okay. Mm-hmm. And will the doctors... do you think that they'll say that they are sick, or they'll just continue saying they're not?
I think that could be a fun exploration, that they really believe the bluffer, but they don't believe the real one.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's fun.
It's good. It's a fun lesson to learn about life.
What do you think about how we're going to cast these contestants? I mean, I'm not saying we should hack into the medical records of people and find them that way, but, like, how else are we going to do it?
Yeah. I mean, I do think we need to cast aside privacy concerns and just tap into some real people. It could be almost like Nailed It, where, like, you know, just your average Joe Blow who just wants to come here and hopefully get medical care, and they won't. So that's pretty cool.
Right, because no matter what, they're going home with a Panera gift card.
Panera Bread.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a suggestion, actually. What if one of the judges is a smug white male doctor who also believes in, like, herbal holistic medicine?
Ooh.
And is just, because that's a big trend right now.
Right. Stop thinking yourself sick, you lazy cunt. Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Well, I think we have a lot to think about. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, Selena. Judges, I don't envy you. You have a lot to think about right now.
So it took us literally hours to decide.
I remember.
I lost hair. I lost weight. Yeah. I just lost years of my life.
It feels
it's so stressful.
Like months. And who we'd love to announce, not just for elimination, but for promotion, is Sopan.
Sopan, you made it. All right.
While we love Dr. Patel, we just thought, you know, we need you over here helping us with these pitches.
Pitchers. Now it's time for the round two game. For round two this time, we're going to do a game called Take Me to Shondaland. Everybody loves Grey's Anatomy, right? It's a great show. It's like does gangbusters. People just doctors humping in the break room. It's a whole thing. But after 37 seasons, it's getting a little stale. So Shonda Rhimes needs to come up with a new show, but she also wants to hold on to that brand. So we need you to give us your best pitch for Grey's Anatomy, The Next Generation. So just think about that really quick, and then I'm going to have Paul go first. So you've got 60 seconds to pitch. Let's hear what you got.
So when it comes to Grey's Anatomy, The Next Generation, I think we are obviously inclined to move on to Purple's Anatomy, which is a kind of Nick Jr. animated series of Grey's Anatomy. We lose none of the grit, but we gain a lot of fun and shrink it down to 22 minutes. Same amount of sex, for sure. Same amount of death. Same amount of life-threatening surgeries. But they're pediatricians. Thank you.
Wow. That was not what I was expecting at all.
It took a dark turn, and I loved it.
I love it. Are there any opportunities for other Nick Jr. personalities, like Adora or a other thing that
so
you heard
of? So Dora is killed off in the Purple's Anatomy universe.
What?
I wow. mean, she's been chronically ill this whole time. She hasn't grown an inch.
And I've never watched Grey's Anatomy, but I've been told that each season has, like, a crazy-ass event that, like, really ups the ante, like a bomber. Mm-hmm. What is, like, the season one big event that you envision happening?
I like where you're going with it. You know, I kind of like going high concept with it. Maybe sort of like an incoming ballistic missile threat to this hospital. I really go wide with it.
Yeah.
I want to make the kids uncomfortable. Make them think.
It's important to teach children about these the threat of bombs.
It is.
At a young age.
I just want to follow up. So you're saying your animated kid show about pediatricians is going to be about terrorism?
You got it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. All right. Matt, are you ready to take us to Shondaland?
Thank you. I've been thinking about this for literally 3 minutes. And I think when you want to look at how to make Grey's Anatomy, The Next Generation, a big hit, you have to look at the most successful Next Generation show of all time, Degrassi. What made that show so great? One word, Drake. I propose we take the entire budget of this show and use it to secure Drake as a series regular. We won't be able to license any of his music or afford other actors or sets. It'll just be Drake in a wheelchair doing whatever he wants to do on the set for the time we have him, which will be about 45 minutes a day. That footage will be cleverly edited into the most compelling doctor show ever known. Thank you. I am the winner.
Wow, really high level thinking there. Mm-hmm. I think 45 minutes now, is that for the whole series? So that's like a let's say it was like a 10 episode order.
I that's my projection.
Right.
I texted his people from the booth over there.
Right.
And that was the outside figure they
right.
gave me.
Right. So we got Drake for 45 minutes now. I can't do math, but let's mm-hmm. say we have to divide that into 10 episodes.
Yeah.
22. Oh, wait, I just stated it's 4.5 minutes.
22
no, it's
episodes.
Not. 22 episodes. Yes. Well, I guess what I'm saying is how do we fill the time and the space and the dialogue with people that aren't Drake that for 4 minutes?
I have managed to secure an excellent Drake stand-in who could be used for long shots.
Okay.
I should come forward. It's me. But, you know, from the back, in shadow. In a wheelchair.
I can see it.
So you mentioned we won't have literally any budget for anything
no,
outside of Drake.
Expensive.
And so we're going to need a lot of editing magic, I think, a lot of CGI. Well, how are you imagining that we do? Are we going to crowdsource that? Do you think Drake fans are just like that psycho that they'll just do that for us? Or what do you think?
Well, I was panicking when you asked me the question, but now that you mentioned psycho Drake fans, I think you've hit on it right there. We promise fans that if they work long hours for free, they will have sex with Drake.
And will they, or we just promise them
I
that?
Have to imagine, no. Thank you very much.
All right. So are you ready to take us to Shondaland?
Okay. As someone who's never, I've never seen a single episode of Grey's Anatomy, so I think I bring a fresh perspective to the franchise. And I would say that for Grey's Anatomy, the new generation, let's do a combination of 50 Shades of Grey and America's obsession with Munchausen by proxy. It is a real Munchausen by proxy minute we're going in right now, you know? Everyone's into, you guys know Munchausen by proxy, it's where you deliberately get someone else sick. Yeah, hot topics right now. So it's going to be involved 50 Shades of Grey, Fuck City, USA, also pretending that the person you're representing is sick, and we go from there. You're welcome.
Wow.
So, Selena, what is this show about?
You know
what's the format? What's the format? What are we
doing? I would say let's do 30-minute sitcom.
3 minutes?
30. Sorry. 22-minute episodes sitcom.
Yeah, okay.
Having never seen or read 50 Shades of Grey or watched Grey's Anatomy.
Me needs. Okay.
Or experienced firsthand Munchausen's by proxy. I'm just feeling really like in the dark about what is the show about?
You know what? That's my favorite way to engage with industry. And I think that proves to be a really good way for industry to make great decisions and big decisions, you know? I mean, I think we should all be, like, exploring. Like, this show will be an exploration. It'll be unpredictable. I don't know much about either topic, but I do think when they combine, it's powerful.
Thank you, Selena.
Thank you very much.
So, again, like, literally it took us days to decide.
I was going to say.
This time, even more than the last time. And you know what? We just have to say we cannot wait to have Selena join our executive table.
Woo! You're hired.
Because you know what? Like, as soon as you said 50 Shades and Munchausen's by proxy, I realize you have the understanding of psychological manipulation that is required in this industry. So welcome. And congrats to Matt and Paul.
All right, Matt and Paul, congratulations. You have made it to the lightning round.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Today's commercial idea was submitted by Gene in Philadelphia.
Today's episode is brought to you by Fabric Stiffener. Are you tired of your clothes flowing with your body and providing comfort and protection from the elements? Do you want to look like Max Headroom or perhaps some sort of caricature from an Italian Renaissance play? Then I suggest Fabric Stiffener. Just a single drop will render your clothes into pieces of card that tear easily but somehow scrape your skin at the same time. Fabric Stiffener from the makers of poop-scented Febreze.
Okay, so this is my favorite part of the show. This is the lightning round to decide who our grand champion will be. So here's how it works. Our network, in their zeal, has greenlit a slew of new shows just based on the titles. They have given no thought to what these shows actually are. They're like, I like the name of that. Greenlit. So I have a list of 10 shows here. You're each going to get 5. And you have to tell me in as succinct a way as possible what these shows are about. And then the judges will decide, based on your answers, which one of you is the grand prize winner. So, Paul, you'll go first. First up, I need you to tell me about the brand new television show, Say Ah.
Dr. Joseph A. Hugh, so it's Dr. Ah, is a oral surgeon who loves two things, fast cars and fast surgery.
All right, awesome. All right, Matt,
yes.
Tell me about our new series, Tumor or No Tumor.
Okay. This series, hosted by Howie Mandel, involves contestants who are presented with a briefcase. They get the opportunity to jiggle it and have to determine if it contains a real tumor that has recently been taken out of a patient or just a bunch of giblets.
Okay, Paul, are you ready?
No.
Honesty is appreciated. Your next show is Undercover OBGYN.
So this show, it's Undercover Boss.
Yeah.
It takes place at sort of like various kind of like businesses around the country. One of the women at this business is suffering from cramps. And it's his job to kind of figure out who's got cramps.
Ooh. Wow.
He might be rooting around their purses for Advil or seeing who's kind of like wincing a little bit when they lean over. But he almost never gets it right. It's very subtle.
That's too bad. Matt, tell me about The Best Medicine.
Okay. The Best Medicine is a show about laughter, which is founded on the premise that laughter is the best and only legitimate medicine. It's funded as a branded project by the Christian Science community. And in every episode, terminally ill people are put in a room with Christian Science comedians. There are very few. And the comedians try to heal them with laughter, and then you never see what happens after that.
Paul, your next show is Stitches.
Stitches is also about laughter. Every week, we put four people who have just had their wounds sutured up straight into the Gotham Comedy Club. Last one without an open wound wins.
All right.
Love
and
the
game
it's
show.
Not enough to get the stitches back in. It's not enough. It's not a net loss.
Fantastic. Thank you, Paul. Okay, Matt, tell me about Grandma's Leftover Pills.
Okay. Grandma's Leftover Pills is a children's show on Disney XD. And basically, the show, it airs in the time of day when it's kind of counting on parents putting their kids in front of the TV and not watching. And basically, it's just telling kids to take their grandma's old pills and mail them to a P.O. box.
Smart.
And then we get to take the pills.
All right, thank
End
you.
Of show.
End of show. Paul, tell me about Make Mine Malignant.
Okay, well, four patients with malignant tumors must charades their kind of symptoms and general feelings towards their general practitioners. No words are spoken in this show. Only the audience sort of sees them at the bottom of the screen. And at the end of the show, the doctor makes a diagnosis, which he will kind of carry out and is binding, which may or may not be close to the charades or miming that the patients actually did. Thank you.
Thank you. I like it. I love stakes. Okay, second to last one for you. Matt, tell me about Show Me Where It Hurts.
Okay. Show Me Where It Hurts, it's a scripted show, takes place in the world of MMA, and it's about the leading MMA doctor who alternates between treating the injuries and desperately begging the athletes not to keep doing the sport. And every week he says, show me where it hurts, and they say, everywhere! And also they all have very tiny angry nipples.
Okay, that's fair. Paul, last one for you. Tell me about the show, Doctor in the House.
Doctor in the House is a spinoff of House MD, and it's about the tiny doctor who lives inside Dr. House, kind of right behind his ear, right inside. And he knows the answer the whole time. You know how House kind of struggles to get there? And so he's sort of screaming about it. And then every once in a while, we'll kind of zoom out and see House not getting it. And he'll be like, what's not clicking? And it's animated. Thank
awesome.
You.
Thank you very much. All right. Thank you, Paul. All right. Last one, Matt. I'm sorry. Your last show is Pre-Bed.
Pre-Bed. Okay. Pre-Bed is a show, as you can imagine, about pre-med students. It's a late-night HBO softcore porn series. Very much vintage HBO softcore. Everything's taped down. They're really gyrating. Nobody's sweaty. And it's basically these pre-med doctors who have unrealistic sex with each other. And it also stars Paul Giamatti, Clint Howard, and Rainn Wilson.
All right, thank you much. That was the lightning round. Let's go up for Paul and Matt. Yeah.
I have a question from Matt. The P.O. box that...
Yes.
Who's receiving these pills, and what are the, is this kind of like an RX company made the show and they're trying to get their pills back to recycle them, or...
I mean, in my mind, the P.O. box has three keys, which is mine and the two yours. And we divide everything equally, and outside of that...
Hell yeah.
No questions.
I like the sound of that.
So again, took us forever to figure this out. That joke is played out. It was almost unanimous. What am I saying? The winner of tonight's Bad Pitches is Matt.
There you go. Happy birthday.
Paul, thank you.
Paul, you are amazing.
Don't hurt yourself because you don't have a first aid kit. So.
Thanks again for tuning in to Bad Pitches. Be sure to subscribe and check out new episodes every other Monday. If you like what you hear, leave us a review, give us 5 stars, tell your friends anything that you think says, hey guys, nice podcasting. And if you've got an idea for a bad product we could advertise during our commercial breaks, let us know on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at Bad Pitches TV, and we might just pick yours. I'm Ned Airbar. See you next time on Bad Pitches.